It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Friday, June 12th, 2026. What an appropriate Speak Out intro for today. You know, the World Cup reference and all that. And, yeah, Team USA, finally. We've waited, what, 4 years almost for Team USA to make their debut in the America's World Cup because it's Mexico, USA, and Canada. And, yeah, the boys, Christian Pulisic and company. I like Tim Weah. Watch this guy, all right? His dad was a big soccer star in Africa, and he never even knew his father, and turns out he's a pretty dang good player all his own and makes the national team. So anyway, enough soccer talk, right? Arizona Senate President Warren Peterson, who's a candidate for Attorney General, is going to be my first guest, and second guest, Terry Parcells. She's a candidate for the Lake Havasu City Council. And I'd like to remind you, we're broadcasting live from the Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. And without further ado, let's go ahead and we'll go to my first guest. And we're talking with Warren Peterson. He is a candidate for Attorney General for the state of Arizona and currently the president of the Arizona Senate. Welcome back to Speak Out. It's been, what, a year or so?
Yeah, been a year and 400 events later.
We are reminded by Nancy Campbell, of course, who has made it possible for you to be here in Lake Havasu City in the studio. So
yeah,
we really appreciate
absolutely.
You being here.
Yeah, she's running me hard, and it's amazing. It's great.
We didn't know it when we booked it 2 months ago, but this is so timely with the clean elections debate. How ironically named that was, right, when it came to you and your opponent, Rodney Glassman. It got a little heated. And I have to talk about this. What happened?
Sure.
What started all of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I asked the moderator right out front. I said, hey, are you, like, ready to handle someone who's going to be very aggressive and go over their time and talk over other people? And the moderator's like, because, I mean, if you've watched my opponent in any kind of debates or anything, you'll see that he'll talk out of turn. He'll go past his time limit. He'll yell over people, shout over people. And so I mentioned that to the moderator. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. But then literally just coming right out of the gate in his opening statements, he started attacking. And then on my opening comments, he started yelling and screaming over me while I was speaking. And I looked straight at the moderator and asked him, are you asking the questions? And basically, you know, sir, take control here. And the moderator was just like stunned.
Yeah, he looked like a male librarian. He looked like he didn't really want to participate, just ask questions. But I digress, right?
Yeah.
Let's get to the policies and that of Attorney General. Last time we talked, Chris Mays had sued Donald Trump and his administration probably 27 times. Yeah. I think there's 20 more lawsuits top of that.
Yeah, we're over 40 lawsuits. She spent about, I mean, it's the tab is going to be well over $3 million when it's all said and done. And for me, this is exactly why I'm running. Chris Mays' top priority is political lawfare. I want to take the office to what it should be, fight crime, defend the laws and the Constitution, root out fraud and corruption. That's $3 million she's wasted that could have been spent on keeping Arizona safe.
There's so much talk about who's the real attorney here in the race, right, on the Republican side.
Yeah.
Is Chris Mays an attorney?
Yeah, so Chris Mays, well, yeah, all three of us are attorneys.
Does she have a practice or anything like that?
No, Chris Mays has never practiced. Okay. She was a reporter. The interesting thing about all of this, and I never bring this part up, but my opponent has brought it up, but he talks about courtroom experience. Well, I'm the only person in the race of the three of us who has proof that I have prosecuted 9 trials. Also, in January, I was in the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm the only person also who's been in the U.S. Supreme Court. I was sitting next to Attorney General McCuskey from West Virginia. He has endorsed my campaign, and he's put out a video saying I'm the only candidate ready to go on day one. I was also sitting next to Attorney General Raul Labrador from Idaho, who has endorsed my campaign as well. My opponent and I went and met with all these AGs, shared our vision of what we were going to do, and 4 of those AGs, the only AGs who endorsed have endorsed my campaign. I trust the AGs. I trust the county attorneys. But what else would my opponent say? He's got nothing else to say. He's been running for office for 15 years. He's lost 6 elections in a row. So he has no record to point to. He has nothing to point to. The reality is he's a trust fund baby. He's living in an 11,000-square-foot home in the Biltmore. And this is what he does. He runs for office. So for him making those attacks against me, it's because he's losing. There are 10 polls out. Every poll shows us winning the primary, and we're the only candidate that can beat Chris Mays in the general election.
With you and your opponent here in the primary, what sets you apart completely from Rodney Glassman, other than you're the Senate president, obviously, in Arizona?
Yeah, well, I'm the only one ready to do this office, and I'm the only one. I mean, basically, this wasn't my idea to run for attorney general. It was former assistant AGs who asked me to run. And so, as Senate President, there is a statute that gives me standing when our Attorney General is not defending our laws. And consequently, right now, I am managing over 110 cases or amicus briefs. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what the Attorney General does. So everyone can go to peterson4ag.com, and they can look at all, you know, those 110 cases and briefs that I've been managing. I mean, just recently I did a brief for our elections for Maricopa County Attorney, you know, and on the ruling, the judge really took our brief and signed his name to it, and we won in that case.
How important are the deputies in that office, and will you get a fresh set, or do you go with what's already there?
Well, considering who's in charge, yeah, we're going to need to make some major changes there. And I'm the only person without leadership experience. I've been running one of the largest institutions for the last 3.5 years. And, you know, one of the state Supreme Court justices recently told me, they said, hey, I like how you set that mini solicitor general's office up at the Senate. And one of the things I did, I brought in somebody from the AG's office. My chief of staff used to work at the AG's office. And we basically set up, you know, we're doing the job that Chris Mays is not doing right out of the Senate. I have, you know, about 200 people that I'm managing down at the Senate, and I'm the only person in this race with experience of managing one of the largest institutions in the state.
It seems like the office lately, anyway, maybe it's always been this way even under Brnovich, but it seems like it's a consumer affairs type office, too. Should it be that way? Is it that way? And will it continue to be that way?
Yeah, no, that is one of the roles of the AG, but what I don't think enough focus is on is crime and keeping Arizona safe. I think the number one thing that law enforcement should be doing is focus on crime and keeping Arizona safe. If you're watching Chris Mays, top priorities are political lawfare, environmental radicalism. She's drifting us towards California. I'm going to be 180 degrees from that.
Are you saying that, you know, no bail laws, are we headed towards that here in Arizona?
Well, yeah. I mean, she's soft on crime. Like, for example, there was a person on death row, terrible murderer, And she issues the death warrant, and she didn't do it. You know, 2 years had passed by, and nothing was happening, and I went on to social media, and I criticized her, and then voila, suddenly in 10 days, within 10 days, she finally issues the warrant. Another thing, a sex offender sued the state of Arizona for cruel and unusual punishment for our sex offender laws. She didn't defend the law. So I intervened. I defended the law. Recently we won. Families and children remain safe from sex offenders because I stepped up and defended a law that Chris Mays would not defend.
And again, you're listening to a recorded interview with Arizona Senate President Warren Peterson. He's running for Arizona Attorney General. This is a recorded interview. We are not taking phone calls at this time. Are there any current laws that you can think of that have been signed that you see yourself either defending or trying to get thrown out?
Yeah, so...
that she signed.
Well, I mean, we've been putting all of those bills on her desk, so all of those bills have been vetted by the Republican legislature.
Right, right.
So even though she has vetoed the vast majority of them, the ones that she has signed... those are good Republican bills that have been vetted. So, and I'm much like, I mean, I'm like John Adams. One thing about Chris May is she thinks she's the legislature. She will not defend laws because she doesn't agree with them. Well, I'm like, you know, I think it was John Adams who said, I am for the law. My job is to defend the law, not make the laws once I'm the AG. Right now, my job is to make the laws, but as the Attorney General, my job will be to defend the laws. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. If I don't agree with the laws, what I will do is go down to the legislature. And by the way, I'm the only one who knows how to do this. I will work with the legislature to change the laws to make sure that we keep Arizona safe. Now, here is something really unusual about this race. I am the only candidate who has received the full support from law enforcement. There's five really big associations. Three of them have already endorsed. A fourth one just notified me yesterday that I'll be getting endorsed. You have a challenger to the sitting AG who has every single law enforcement endorsement. That has probably never happened in the history of Arizona.
You might be right.
It's unprecedented.
Right.
So she's panicking. All of a sudden, Chris Mays supports law enforcement. Well, for the first 3.5 years, you didn't. So people are not going to, you know, she's not going to fool anybody.
Well,
at least she won't fool law enforcement.
Right. Leo Biasucci was here, sitting right there, in fact, on Friday, and we talked about there's a possibility, and Republicans are concerned about it, especially in the House, of losing the House to the Democrats. Not so much the Senate, but the House. How does that affect the AG's office if you're a Republican Attorney General, you have a Democrat House and possibly a Democrat Senate? And a Democrat governor. How does all that work?
Yeah.
What's the dynamic?
Well, obviously, it would be bad for when we're trying to run policy. And that is a major thing that the Attorney General does. When I was the Judiciary Chairman for 2 years, every single bill that had to do with the judicial branch went through my committee. And I used to work very closely with Mark Brnovich, God rest his soul.
Right.
I worked with him on tougher terrorism laws. I worked with the county attorneys on multiple criminal laws. Obviously, if somehow they were able to take the House, that would blunt our opportunity to pass anything meaningful with, you know, criminal laws.
But at the same time, you'd have a lot of opportunity to challenge some of those laws that came out of the Democratic legislature, right?
Well, if the Senate holds, then they'll kill everything. And I'm optimistic we're going to have a Governor Andy Biggs, and he would veto anything along those lines as well.
A lot of people talk about water, the availability of water. You have talk of a pipeline going from a desal plant in Mexico.
Right.
Port of Peñasco, is that it?
Puerto Peñasco.
Puerto Peñasco?
Yeah.
Oh, it is in Enya. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Coming up, you know, into... What would it be? Pima and
There's the Yuma desal plant.
I don't know what counties it crosses in that, but is there a legal issue there, and does the Attorney General of the state of Arizona, would you have any working relationship with Mexico in that case?
Yeah. Yeah, anytime we're doing anything interstate or internationally, yeah, there would be obviously legal issues that we would have to deal with. And if you know Chris Mays, again, she's a radical environmentalist. She doesn't She would rather just shut everything down. I'm a person who believes in abundance, and I have a great relationship with the Trump administration. And for water, what we really need is augmentation. We need to go back to early America. When you needed water, you built a dam. When you needed power, you built a power plant. That is my philosophy, the philosophy of abundance. Chris Mayes lives in the philosophy of scarcity, as I believe does my primary opponent as well. So I've met with the Trump administration 4 times. I've proposed the solution to our water problem. It's augmentation. We're 2.5 million acre feet short of what we need.
Right.
There's a short-term solution, which is, you know, motivating people to reduce off river water. But the long-term solution, I proposed 14 infrastructure projects, including a big, beautiful dam. There is enough water being built, you know, dumped out into the ocean from California. There would be enough water for us to have the water that we need for the 40 million people that rely on it along the Colorado River.
A big, beautiful dam.
Big, beautiful
with
dam.
A lot of concrete.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, we used to just build stuff, and now we're at this place where you start building and then you start getting sued.
Right.
Well, that's where I would be suing the environmentalist groups, making sure these projects are moving forward. Of course, Chris Mayes would be on the other side of all these issues.
What do you tell the people of Mojave County? How do you reassure those people along the river, living on top of that aquifer under Kingman?
Yeah.
And there's water grabs coming from all over.
Right.
If it's not the Middle East, it's, you know, Maricopa County,
right,
which may as well be the Middle East in some cases.
Right.
How do you reassure those people, those residents of Mojave County, that you have their interests at heart as Attorney General, even though you are in Maricopa County?
Sure. Well, I think I proved this as the Senate President. And from what I know, I'm the only Senate President that has done this before. But I changed the budgeting process. The budgeting process used to be the budget for the great state of Maricopa. I think you could ask Leo or Sonny, Representative Biasucci or former Senator Borelli, you
sure
could ask them about this and they will verify this. I came in and changed it from Maricopa County getting all the fronting projects to, I changed it to saying every legislator, as long as they vote yes, you got to vote yes, of course, who votes for the budget gets an equal share of the funding. And that is why Mojave County got the largest amount of funding for transportation projects probably in the history of Arizona.
And again, you're listening to a recorded interview with Arizona Senate President Warren Peterson. He's running for Arizona Attorney General. This is a recorded interview. We are not taking phone calls at this time. Before the show, we got into it a little bit about election law.
Yeah.
Right. And the current Secretary of State, Adrian Fontes, should he become governor in 4 years, some of what we think are his intentions. Does the Attorney General have any jurisdiction over the Secretary of State or election law in general? How does that dynamic work?
100%. The Attorney General enforces Title 16, which is all of the election laws. I helped create the Election Integrity Unit that has been gutted with our current Attorney General. I'm going to restore that. We're going to make the most robust and active Election Integrity Unit in the history of Arizona. Under my watch, everybody will have full faith and belief in the integrity of our elections. I'm going to have attorneys covering every single county recorder. That's really the meat and potatoes of where the elections happen, is it with your county recorders. And I'm going to send them all a letter within the first week. It's going to say, I enforce Title 16. Keep your records and make sure you keep your cast vote records, because we're going to be reviewing those. You know, prevention is better than prosecution, because prosecution means they did something wrong. We're going to really do the deterrence part of law enforcement, which is one of the most critical parts that law enforcement does. We're going to scare the heebie-jeebies out of these folks of even trying to commit any type of fraud.
Tell me, why do you think law enforcement has given you their full faith and all those endorsements?
Yeah, you know, I think because I've always supported law enforcement over the last 14 years. I also think because just a few months ago, you know, Chris Mayes gave this absolutely horrendous legal advice that almost created a tragedy here in Arizona. Minnesota, you saw that what was happening between ICE agents and rioters in Minnesota. ICE is in every state.
Yes.
But this was happening in Minnesota because of the crazy leadership at the top, you know, infuriating people, creating enmity between the people and ICE agents. So you saw that start to happen here in Arizona. Chris Mays, who hates our Second Amendment, and by the way, I'm the only candidate endorsed by the Second Amendment in this race. Chris Mays, who hates our Second Amendment, said, you know, our Second Amendment laws, they're so dangerous that you could shoot an ICE agent.
I remember.
Yes, and this went nationwide, so I immediately took to the waves. You took to the waves, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. We all, Nancy, everybody, we all did our part. I ended up on national radio with the Sean Hannity show saying, listen, giving the proper legal advice, contrary to her legal advice, if you shoot ICE agents or law enforcement here in the state of Arizona, you will be prosecuted for murder. And someone like her at the top having that kind of dangerous rhetoric could have literally turned Arizona into Minnesota within a matter of hours.
Sure.
But thanks to people like you, Nancy, myself, our leadership and pushing out to the community and saying, no, listen, if you get in the way of law enforcement, if you prevent them from, obstruct them from doing their job, you're putting your life at risk.
There's a lot of talk in this interview anyway about Chris Mays, right?
Yeah.
Yet you have to get through the primary first. Are there polling numbers that say you're ahead, you're tied?
Yeah.
Where are you in the race right
now? Yeah, absolutely. So 10 polls have been done for the primary. I'm winning in every poll. That's actually very unusual because usually there'll at least be one poll where you're losing. We are winning in every single poll. And for the general election, there have not been as many polls done, but we have one showing us beating Chris Mays. We have one showing us losing by a couple of points, one showing us tied. She knows that. And she is all, and by the way, those polls show me the only one close to her. My opponent is not even close. So I'm the only one that can beat her. She knows that, and she's already running ads against me, and we're not even at the primary yet.
Okay, in Lake Havasu City, we have a school board member, sitting school board member, who won by one vote.
Wow.
What do you mean by winning?
Well, I think we'll win more than by one vote, but I will say this. This race, the AG race, last time, it was 3 million votes, and it was decided by 280 votes.
I know.
So every vote absolutely matters, and as you mentioned earlier, you know, Abe Hamadeh would have been a fantastic attorney general, and even had they just counted those contested ballots that never ended up getting counted, there's no doubt he would have won.
What other endorsements do you have?
So I'm really honored to have the overwhelming support from the legal community and from law enforcement in this race. I'm endorsed by former prosecutor, current congressman, and our next governor, Andy Biggs, has endorsed my campaign. As I mentioned before, I met with the AGs. My opponent met with the AGs. Four AGs have endorsed my campaign. None have endorsed any, but nobody else has been endorsed by AGs. I met with the county attorneys. I'm the only candidate endorsed by four county attorneys. I've also got three sheriffs who have endorsed. Art Del Cueto has endorsed. Free Enterprise Club has endorsed my campaign. Moms for America Action has endorsed my campaign. They're all about school choice. And as mentioned, you know, Second Amendment endorsements as well.
You can't argue with moms, right?
No. I wouldn't recommend it.
So my last point about Chris Mays.
Yeah.
She came from the Arizona Corporation Commission, correct?
Correct.
The Arizona Corporation Commission, at least in this town, whoa, bad name. That's a bad acronym right there. People do not like the ACC here.
Yeah.
Utility rates through the roof, especially since that last Unisource increase was granted. Does the Attorney General have any prosecutorial or review powers over the ACC?
Yeah, anytime anybody is breaking the laws or not complying with the laws here in Arizona, the AG, you know, can take action. Now, one of the amazing things about Chris Mays is she created the high prices that we have right now. When she was on the CorpCom 20-something years ago, she's one of the people who created the Green New Deal. And right now, the CorpCom is trying to unwind that, and she's suing to prevent them from unwinding what she'd set up 20 years ago. One of those things was she contracted into solar rates that are like way higher than what you would pay now. From what I understand, what happened was that they required a certain amount of solar power to be used, and so people have these long contracts, and solar power costs have come down. But people have been locked in, utility providers have been locked into the old rates,
right,
which could be 2-3 times higher. That was caused by Chris Mays.
Let's wrap this up. Tell everybody in Lake Havasu City, Kingman, Bullhead City, Golden Valley, all points in between, why Warren Peterson deserves their vote for Arizona Attorney General.
Yeah, well, I'm running to make sure that Arizona remains safe, free, and prosperous. I'm going to return this Attorney General's office to what it should be doing, fighting crime, defending our laws and the Constitution, rooting out corruption. I'm managing over 110 cases and briefs. You can go to peterson4ag.com to take a look at those. I think what you'll find is that you agree with me on all of those cases and briefs, and you disagree with Chris Mays on all of those cases and briefs.
All right, perfect. Warren, thank you for being here. You said I could call you Warren, by
the way. Sir. Anything you want.
Or I could call you Mr. President, right?
Anything you want.
Senate President Warren Peterson, our guest. And good luck in the primary.
Thank you.
And on to the general, as they say, right?
God bless you, sir.
All right, thank you for being here. All right, we're sitting here patiently with our thinking caps on and everything. Terry Parcells is here in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Paul Lavoie. Sorry, Mr. Lavoie.
L-A-V-O-I-E. No
Got
problem.
It. You no mind problem. If I call you Paul?
I don't know anything else, or Paulie, you know, that's some people call me, so Paul's better than me. I like that.
Well, thank
so
you.
Terry, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back, and we'll have a little bit more time to work with, and then we'll take a short break after that and kind of split it in half. Collect our thoughts, come back and do another segment, and we'll come back in 2 minutes. Folks, we are live now, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. We also take text questions. I know you love text, right? I tried to reach you by text. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. All right, 928-727-5566, and we'll learn all about Terry Parcells and her run for City Council when we come back on Speak Out. Stay with us. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. An eagle flies. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Again, Terry Parcells is here. And we met last year, or I always say last year, and the elections are every 2 years. But we met at the Candidates Forum last time.
2024.
Thank you. I get those things all mixed up. With my life, my personal timeline, I get it. I have little, you know, I don't know how I remember years, but I do.
Right.
But with elections, I'm like, okay, I remember Perot was 92, right?
But I also ran in 2016. I think you also did the chamber forum as well in 2016 when David Lane was running.
I did.
Okay.
I go all the way back to the Grace Arts Theater when we would go in there and the air was barely kicked on.
Oh, that's the one.
Woo!
It was so hot. Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
No offense, Grace. They keep the high school nice and chill for me. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And from the mind of Dallas Finch, it's Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo with great pizza sandwiches and salads, home to the Booby Dropper and our newest Speak Out sponsor. And speaking of the candidates forum, it is a week from, not a week from.
It's Wednesday.
It's 5 days. Right?
Wednesday the 17th at the high school.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
No, you're not. I only asked you that because a little bit here, but it's just me and you. So, anyway, the primary candidates forum is Wednesday. Doors open at 5. You can meet Terry and all of the gang in the concourse there. You'll have a table, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, all the seven candidates will be there, and the mayor candidates will be there as well.
I always feel so important when people call me sir.
Oh.
The real sir is over there in the bowels of the mothership, right?
Well, you know, I'm very formal and old-fashioned.
That's fine. You know, I used to call my mother, we called her mother, not mom, or you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, live on 106.7, 5, and 3, Voice of the Free on KNTR Talk.com as well. I just washed my tongue. I can't do a thing with it. And that will start at 5:30. So doors open at 5. The questions and the big show starts at 5:30. Be the candidates for mayor, City Council and Legislative District 30. So tell me a little bit about Terry Parcells, who you are, why you're running for City Council.
Okay, Paul, I would love to. First, let me just give you a quick little bio personally. Personally, I've lived here for going on 17 years. Mm-hmm. My kids live here. My grandkids have been born here. So I have a personal interest in everything about our city. Professionally, I am an expert civil litigation trial paralegal. I am an Arizona Supreme Court certified legal document preparer.
Wow.
I am an Arizona notary public. I'm also an Arizona notary signing agent, which is a notary services specifically for real estate transactions.
Oh.
And in that capacity, I have to undergo an annual criminal background check. I'm also an ordained minister, and I am the president and CEO of the A-Plus Mail and Business Center, located next to the famous Linda's Italian Foods. And in my professional capacity, I likewise have to undergo continuing legal education to keep up on the laws. And I want to say that I have about 47 years legal experience. I have been in the legal field since I was 16 years old.
Wow.
And I know everything there is to know about a civil courtroom, but I know nothing about how to make a homemade cake.
What about criminal?
Well, you know what? When I first moved here about almost 17 years ago, I thought I'd have no problem finding a job because I'm so experienced. I completed job applications, I'll bet 15 pages worth, and I could not get a job. I finally went to open up Hobby Lobby, was as a cashier there for about 5 months, but then I finally went and got a job over in Parker for the public defender.
Oh.
And that was my first experience in the criminal side of it.
You were overqualified, weren't you?
Yeah, maybe so, for sure. Mm-hmm. But you know, over in Parker, let me just say real quick, they loved me. They put me on a murder case, and it was on a trial, and they hired me on my trial expertise because I am an expert at it.
Wow.
And I just, you know, used my same knowledge on how to do trials, and they absolutely loved me. But, you know, Parker, they were facing a huge liability judgment that stung them. You're shaking your head like you know what I'm talking about.
A little bit.
Them financially.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, they could not do anything financially, and as much as they wanted to hire me, they could not. So then now here I am in Arizona, and actually broke. I couldn't find a job, and I had to reinvent myself for the third time in my life here. So I went ahead and studied all the rules and the procedures, the laws, and I took the test. It was a very hard test to become the Arizona certified legal document preparer. I got that and all the Arizona certifications, and then I opened up the mail center from scratch.
Folks, you know what all that means, right? She's resourceful. That tells me you're very resourceful. So tell me, what, if anything, would you change about how the Lake Havasu City Council conducts its business and communicates with the public and handles major decisions?
Right. There's a few things. First, I want to give you a preamble and tell you that the very first thing that I will do is I want to review the material that governs what a city council member is allowed to do. And I'm a rule follower. I'm going to follow the rules. And once I find out exactly what I can and cannot do, because mm-hmm. I know that there's all kinds of talk about, oh, you can't have, and don't, you know, this is just talk, you can't have more than 4 council members at a social event or whatever the rules
because
are.
Because of quorum.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, but, you know, I want to study those and make sure that I comply with it, and then I'm going to be off to work for the people. I'm all about the people, and I'm going to be their voice. As far as any changes, there's so much. We don't have enough time here, Paul, but I have so much to say. But as far as changes, one of the real sad things that's happening right now is the lack of kindness and the impoliteness and the non-professionalism with our council right now. I will bring the professionalism, the respect, the civility to the council. I can work with everybody and anybody in a very polite manner, respectful manner, like as though you're in a church or in a court.
Sure.
You know, and so that's one of the things that I would want to change immediately. I also believe that with any organization, this is kind of a business, running a business, so the same ideas apply, you know, your procedures, and sometimes you got to look at your underlying procedures before mm-hmm. you can get up to the higher part of the budgets. Some of the procedures I would consider changing. I know you've been asking everybody about where do you want the call to the public. I want the call to the public to be in the beginning. I won't waste your time to tell you all the reasons why, but some of the procedural
things. You're not alone.
Okay, I know that. But, you know, all the candidates are using all these big words, you know, the transparency, the infrastructure. But I'm not hearing anybody saying what they're going to do about it. And I hope that people are reading some of my answers in the newspaper, that I am giving answers. Mm-hmm. And about the transparency, we are so off base with that. And I feel that as your city council, I am your voice. And what does transparency mean? That means that the public, our community members, need to know what is going on. Now, a very good example, I think any person, no matter how educated you are, including myself, I can take a look at an agenda item and say, what the heck does this mean? Now, I understand that you have to have the legal, you know, aspects of the agenda item. I get that. But have a parallel, this was one of the changes, and it's a procedural thing, but include a parallel layman sentence to say exactly what it is. You know, a recent one, they were awarding a $230,000 contract to some ABC company.
There's a lot of nomenclature.
Yes. So how difficult can it be to let the public know that, okay, well, this contract has to do with hiring a new computer contract company or someone for new human resources? So I think that transparency is very important in so many ways.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, and I want the people to know, part of my transparency is that if I'm up there at City Council, I'm going to reiterate in layman terms what the issues are. You, as our community, you're going to always know how I vote and the reason why I'm voting. And I think that is very important. And, yes, we do have a 50-50. You're going to have a yes vote and you have a no vote, but that's part of my experience. I want you to know something. As a, and I'm going to say this a lot, that I have 47 years legal experience, okay?
Wow.
And I'm here applying for a job. And so I want to brag about myself here. But you know what? I realized recently, nobody comes to a law firm, a litigation law firm, with something pleasant. So they come to
true.
A law firm with problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized, folks, I have been working and on people's problems for 47 years, working on solutions and analyzing the issues and really, you know, representing these clients to the best of our ability. And
right.
that's what I'm going to do with the people here.
I told you before the show, my mother was a legal secretary before it was paralegal and that. And she said, I'll never forget this. There's a few things she said that I'll never forget. One is, you know, working in that law firm especially, people create their own problems. She always said that. Always remember that, young man, right? I called her mother. She called me young man. Anyway, we talked about real estate a little bit before the show, too, and the new law or new bill signed into law by Governor Hobbs, the HB 2999. Mm-hmm. And what do you see as a solution that can be addressed at the local level for our actual housing problem here in Lake Havasu City?
Well, Paul, I appreciate you bringing up the housing question, and maybe we can also combine this with the homeless people. I am finding that the majority of the questions that are asked of us candidates, actually, the city council does not have much control of.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to remind your listeners that the three things that city council is responsible for doing
mm-hmm.
is setting your local laws, and we have no one with legal experience
up there.
Or ordinances. Approving the budget, number two. And number three is overseeing the city services and departments. That is what city council does. Now, that's not to say that our hands are tied to address housing. Housing is a problem across the board here. And I will say a few months ago, our President Trump, gosh, I have terrible with
fine.
Names, right?
You're doing
but
fine.
President Trump recognized the problem with housing, and he came up with kind of a suggestion, and he says, you know what? We know what's happening. We got all these businesses coming in, buying up these these properties and they're turning them into businesses and taking it away. You know, that's a, kind of the root of the problem.
Turning them into Airbnbs
and businesses,
Burbos.
Right.
Sure.
So he said, well, how about we just put a limit on it and a corporation can only have two, say, the rental properties, the vacation rental properties. But then, of course, you know, the corporations are just going to say, well, we'll just form corporation number two, corporation number three. So that's not real good. And I was kind of excited when I saw, I think it was 2 days ago, it was on the news about a new bill addressing the housing problem. And you're right, it was Hobbs just recently signed that bill, 299. And that, I have not read that bill, but what I was gathering from it is that it's going to allow developers to use tax-exempt financing. So I'm saying that maybe the city doesn't have the authority to actually do something, but we do have the authority to negotiate with our developers and enter into contracts. We can offer incentives. There are some things that we can do, and they definitely need to be explored, but I do want the community to know that I'm not going to make any promises and say, hey, vote for me, and I'm going to offer you apartment complexes that are going to have rent for $500. You can't do that, but I will put up the good fight, respectfully, that anything we can do. I want to say, I was telling your partner here real quick about the financing or the
That's
housing.
That's my boss, actually.
Oh, that was your boss?
The owner, yes.
Okay, well, part of the problem is on the housing is that we have, the majority is retired people here, and they're on fixed income. So,
well, and the people in the service industry or employees or people that need housing or those entering their adult life need housing, and there's just, you know, it's not affordable.
Yeah, well, but it's because we need more younger people.
Unless you have five people put together in one house, right?
Right, right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, we really need to take a break, but what scares me about that bill is that you have developers and tax incentives in the same sentence.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
I've never heard of the price of housing going down. Like taxes. All right, that's my commentary. Terry Parcells is my guest, and she's a candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. I'd sure like to hear from the audience, the listeners. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, or text us at 928-727-5566. Make this talk radio, not just listen radio. All right, thanks. We'll be right back on Speak Out. We're back on Speak Out, brought to you in part by Springburg Wealth Management, also by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, by Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Garita's Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, and A&B Propane, online at abpropane.com. And Terry Parcells, our guest, do have a phone call. I tried to pick up the phone during the break, but it sounded like we were being butt dialed, right? Is that what you call that? That's what I call it. That's what everybody calls it. Let's see if we can pick up this phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out. Hello, caller. Can you hear me? Okay. Still can't hear me. All right. I guess they cannot hear me. Not sure why. So anyway, Terry, you wanted to take the last 5 minutes.
Okay, yeah, I have a few comments because we're running out of time really super quick, but I want to tell the community as much as possible about me and in being transparent. I want you to know that I will always vote for youth programs. I want you to know that I will always vote against zoning changes except under exceptional circumstances. I will always administer independent, impartial, and fair judgment. I'm not going to just follow what my colleague says to vote for. I will always be exercise my own independent judgment on that. I want everybody to know I did review the general plan. It's 115 pages. I have a lot of comments about that. I'm not so sure I can say that they're good comments, but I did read them. I also, about the 95 the 95 problem with the medians, I agree with the majority part that it is owned by the state and that the state is in control of paying for the work done there, but I disagree with the fact that we are unable to do something as a city. I wholeheartedly say that there is something as a city that we could do, and you can talk to me about that.
Okay.
I want to say that I am very passionate about our city. I want to absolutely do a line-by-line review of the budget and see where we could cut money to be able to apply more money to our streets, which we all know is a problem. Transparency, I have questions on where the money's coming from, where the money's going, where is the rent, for example, where are the rental proceeds on our new pneumatic building going to, or here's something that you think about, or I do, I see all these towers, cell towers in, we got a caller.
Okay.
Hold on, everybody.
right. Hold on. All right, let's see. I was making some adjustments. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Oh, hey, Paul.
Yeah.
It's Horn, dude.
Hey, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Hey,
I just wanted to say
I had a great conversation with Terry the other day in Safeway.
Okay.
Oh.
And we need somebody like her on the city council.
Oh, thank you, Greg.
And you know what? I just liked what she had to say, and I like that she would be on there to be in line with what the people that live here and pay taxes here.
Okay.
Need to have a representation like that. So I think she probably remembers me. We were both getting prescriptions.
Okay. Okay, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
We're running out of time. Thank you for the endorsement,
thank
I guess,
you.
Right?
Yes, I guess
so.
Thank
go.
You so much, Greg. Anytime All you right. want to talk to me, you know where I am, and my door is always open to you and everybody else.
Yep, perfect. And you had a couple more things?
You
have about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, you all know I have a lifetime experience in the legal field, and I could use that as your city council. I'm a professional researcher. Mm-hmm. I have extensive knowledge with budget, taxes, inventory, payroll, policies, procedures, customer service, and problem solving. And I'm a fighter. I'm not afraid of anybody, and I will represent the best interests of the community. And my door is literally, I will be the only city council, I think, ever in history where you could walk into my office and come and see and talk to me. And, I'm looking for your vote. I have a whole lot more to say, so please come and visit me. And I want to say to Mr. Paul Lavoie.
Thank you.
Mr. Lavoie, thank
right.
you for this opportunity and for having me.
All you had to do
really.
Is call me Paul. You didn't even have to put the
Paulie,
Lavoie in
said.
There. You didn't have to put the Lavoie in there. But as far as I wanted to talk to you more about the general plan later,
okay.
We'll get into what you did not like about it. I wanted to get your comments on that. But, yeah, that's about all the time we have, though. So.
Did you want to ask me anything else?
About Go Lake Havasu or...
Ooh,
right. Yeah, Go Lake Havasu. Well, it's a big deal right now,
yeah.
what's going on
yeah.
over there, especially with the privacy of some employees in that... And the Partnership for Economic Development.
Right.
What do you propose for those two departments?
Well, the very first thing, knowing me, is I want to review all the underlying documentation that's involved in there. I say this, that, you know what, maybe they have done a really good job with bringing in our tourism, but at this point in time, we're already on the map, and the tourism, we're already there. And I would say, why should we be paying so much money to continue? I think that all of our the hotels and the companies, they could take over and do their own websites and solicit their own business.
Okay.
But I'd like to look at the underlying contracts and really digest it and report to the public.
One final thought. Some people might ask, where are the bass tournaments?
Well, over there at Side 6.
Are they?
That's where I see them.
You still see them there?
Well, I haven't seen them in a little while.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's my point.
So where are they?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
But
are they up at Cottontail Cove?
Isn't that normally handled by Go Lake Havasu, though? Anyway, I have to go.
Okay.
I have little birdies that whisper in my ear and tell me things like that.
And let the record reflect that I am shaking Paul's
yes.
hand.
That was a good visual. All right. We're going to take it right up to the top of the hour. And Sean Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Thank you so much, Terry.
Thank you,
All
Paul.
Right, we'll have you on
Thank
at a later
you very
day.
Much.
Thank you.
This
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5 and 106.3. The voice of the free.